Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took from Rome. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, mom.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers. Doing time with ISIS and killers and gang bangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time. Serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Alhamdulillah, bismillah, in the name of Allah, God, and all praise and thanks belongs to God. Welcome, everyone, to Point of Impact. Again, we are here doing our thing live. Yes, we are, y'all. And I want to thank everyone for joining us and joining in on us, and greet you all with peace and security and surely love, okay? And we're going to have a wonderful show today. I've just had a wonderful experience today with the NAACP, and we had our first annual family day in Norfolk. It's the first time this event has ever been done in this branch here in Norfolk, and I'm talking about it was amazing. It was a wonderful turnout, beautiful people, and it was just lovely. The kids and the families just had a wonderful time. Tonight, great. Everyone... I want to thank you all for joining us. Peace. Kristen and Hassan, y'all with us? Okay.
Peace.
We have a wonderful show tonight. I'm going to have two very, very dear guests I hope to have on the show with us tonight. And I want you all to meet them. And we're going to be talking to them, of course, about their experience of their son's incarceration and the task and struggle of bringing me home and, you know, how it impacted them. It's very important, I believe, for this message to get out because there's so many families who go through this and people really don't understand the struggle that parents go through when seeing their children incarcerated. So
that's
I would
right.
like to introduce the little boy is still in me. Mommy, Daddy, are you there? Hello? Mom, Daddy? What I tell you?
Yeah. Okay.
Hello?
Nas, you might have to remind him to press 1.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy and Mommy, if you're on the line, press 1. Mr. Johnny and Ms. Brenda Hentry. Hello?
Hello?
Press 1. Ma?
Hello?
Mommy?
Yes.
Hello? Mommy, do you hear me? Mommy, yes, do you hear me?
We can hear
okay.
you. Can you hear us?
Oh,
yes,
there you go.
There it goes.
I'm on the line.
Okay. Yeah, that's my mom. That's my mother, Ms. Brenda Hansford, and that's my father, Mr. Johnny Hansford. And we're here tonight. And Krista and Hassan.
Yes.
That's my mom
yes.
and dad.
Wonderful. It's certainly my pleasure to make your acquaintance. My pleasure.
Yes.
Why don't we begin, Mom? You want to tell everybody who you are?
Hello. My name is Brenda Hansford. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello.
Mom.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, we can hear you, Mom.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh.
My name is Brenda
Mommy.
Hansford.
Uh-huh.
And,
I am
all right.
the mother
and, Mom, you
of
want to tell-
Derek Hansford.
Okay.
And are you an only child, or how many children or siblings do you have? I only have one
I'm
child.
I'm only child.
Oh, no
okay.
wonder he's rotten. He's 4.
That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do here tonight. We're gonna shoot.
Oh. man, yeah. Because you know this is a joyous occasion. It's a joyous occasion. You know,
yeah.
it's a joyous occasion.
Yeah, it is.
We want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate that. And so,
like having a son, a mother having a son. I must say, and you know, sorry, Dad, but dads always say, oh, I can't wait to have my boy. But boys are for the mothers, for sure.
Okay. Mm.
No comment.
So, no comment. I mean, you got your best friend. I can say you probably got a best friend out of the situation. But, like, boys, I watch my sister. She have all boys, and I got all girls. I feel like a roommate in my house. But my sister, her boys take care of her and make sure she goes wanting nothing. So I see the bond. I'm a little jealous in that way.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And Mommy, you want to tell everybody where you're from?
From Passaic, New Jersey. I was born there. I was raised in Paterson, New Jersey. That was where I grew up at. That is where I went to high school at, grade school.
Okay.
And that's where I graduated from high school at. And so it's, a lot of my life was spent in Paterson, New Jersey. But born in Passaic, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So my first question I want to kick it off with, how was Mr. Derek Hansford growing up, and it's the question for first we're going to start with Dad and then Mom, because I know Mom, you got a story to tell us. But how was it, you know, raising Mr. Derek?
Are you speaking to the dad or the mom?
Dad can go first. I'll let Dad go first.
Okay.
Well, he was a good kid. But hard-headed. You know, he was not a follower. He was a leader. He was a hell of a football player.
Okay.
He loved sport, and he was great at it. And he had a good heart. And the only thing that was his downfall was the drugs. And as most of our, once they get involved in that, then everything else seems to go to the wayside.
Right. That's right.
Knowing my son, knowing his heart, and knowing what type of person he was, that was something you had to deal with. You had to overlook the drug use and know what's inside of the individual that you have as your son. And my son had a good heart. It was just the drugs that drove him to do some of the things he did. And I cannot say that I didn't have my hard time with it, because I did. You know, trying to change from what he was doing. And I can only say that at that time, I was bug wild myself. And I had to take a look in the mirror to see who I was in order to try to make him grow up to be the man that I wanted him to be, not the man that I saw in myself. So I had to change my life. I did that knowing that that was the only way that I could change my son's lifestyle. And it's hard as a parent when your child is out there and on drugs and you trying to control him, but you know from your own experience that that's not going to be easy because of what he's doing. And a parent owner can do pray. And my father always told me, let it go. Hopefully it'll come to a head. But as a parent, there's something to do. You keep trying and keep trying. And my son was very intelligent. And he was very fit, had a great heart. But, you know, when you get those substances in you, it's a different personality. He's home, and you see what he's trying to do to make a difference in other people's lives. That tells you what kind of heart he has. Because he knows from where he came. He knows from he went through. And he's trying to make changes and change other people's lives. I know I went into from the time he was a kid to now, but, you know, it is what it is with that.
Now, Dad, you want to tell everybody, you know, your full name and where you're from, Dad?
My name is Johnny Hansford, and I'm from Teaneck, New Jersey, originally born in Forsyth, Georgia. Came up here when I was 7 years old. I met Derek's mom when we was in school together. We went to high school together, and we I met her, and it wasn't long after he was conceived.
That's wonderful.
And mom, how was it, you know, raising Mr. Derek?
As mom raising him, I say it was a struggle because he did have a dad and a mom that were married, and then we separated and divorced. And so when parents separate, it has a great effect on the child. And yes, I mostly had him because he was raised in the house with me. But he did have the support of a mother and a dad being raised up, okay? So Derek had a good life of being raised. He was a good child. He was a loving child. And he's been given a lot of love. He's loved by a lot of people, okay? He was a very good kid in terms of a child. He was easy when he was a child. He was loving. He always wanted to give to other people. He has a kind heart. He always wants to take care of somebody. Okay. But he basically was your that I would say that was
active because he was all boy. He always wanted to play sports or do all kind of activities. Being at home with me as a mother who had to get out and go to work and sometimes leave him at home with a babysitter attended by someone, that took away some of the fact that when he has split parents, that he didn't have two people in the household at all times, okay? So some of the fact that he's raised up with a good upbringing, he is raised with knowing he went to grade school, he went to Catholic school, high school, and he went there until he met the demise of drugs, okay? All before then, I can tell you that he was raised up the right way. He was instilled with qualities, the good qualities of life, of knowing that he is supposed to be mindful of his elders, being respectful, that he is supposed to have manners and respect in life, okay? He has been given all of those qualities, and he shows them sometime now as an adult, as a grown man. You can tell that he's been raised in a household where he got that kind of upbringing, okay? As I would tell you, for his childhood, he had a great life. He didn't go through no wants in life. He's an only child. I won't tell you that he's been given everything, but he's had a lot in life. So when he had the demise of falling into drugs in his life, that takes you on a different path. And so, therefore, when he would end up where he more or less ended up with spending 25 years in prison, I can't say that that was because he wasn't raised the right way. He was instilled with all the good qualities that a mother and a father puts in their child. But somewhere along the line, when our black boys and girls get out there in the world and they run into the wrong crisis of what the white man puts out there for our kids, when our children are introduced to drugs and then they get strung out on them, it's hard to break it and bring it back. So the white man is who brought the drugs, which they bring to all of our black neighborhoods in the ghettos, and the white man is who produced the drugs that my son got on. The white man is the first that made it available to him, okay? And so a lot of my bitterness is not the fact that he didn't have two good parents, because he did. It wasn't the fact that he wasn't raised properly, because he was, okay? It's the demise that where our kids fall one day when they go out in the street, and he was of age to where he could find drugs or get introduced to drugs. But I blame a lot of the situation on the fact that mothers and fathers out here today, when they are separated or not together, it affects our children to the point of somewhere they lose something, because his dad was with him all the time, but his dad was not right there in the house with him. His mom was in the house with him, but at some point in time, I was working. I was on a job. We were not allowed to be on welfare, okay? So I was a working mom who put in a lot of time on a job, and I also attended to my son. But your children lose something when your parents are not there all the time, where they need more time with your being at home with them. So I had to make the sacrifice of not being a welfare mom and is going out and getting a job and taking care of my son, okay? So I did that. But it becomes cracked. It comes cracked in the raising of our children when the white man brings drugs to our neighborhood and they supply our kids with drugs, and they give them the candy that says you can make lots of money and you can do this and you can do that. But the system has failed us when so many times, once my son became of the age where I saw he was falling to the cracks and we tried to get him help, me and my husband tried to get him into help, like drug centers and stuff like that. Those were the things they didn't offer to give him help on in his early stages of life. And so the drugs really destroyed him until he became more of an adult, from a teenager life to an adult, okay? But what out of all of that, I believe that God has a plan for everyone and everybody out here. And my God has saved my son. My God is the reason my son is here today. And he is still being used. God has a purpose for him. And he is being used. And I'm grateful and thankful for the person that he is, because he is a caring person. He has a kind heart. And he is willing to give back in society today amidst all that he has been through. Okay, there's been a lot of pain for us while my son have been incarcerated, but me and and his dad, we never have given up. We have prayed constantly and kept God the forefront of that. I was going to see to it that my son got out of prison, and he is here today, and I'm a living witness of a mother who prayed for 25 years for my son to be returned back home. And I thank God today that he is here, standing on solid ground. And he is a man, he himself, who serves God. And God is in his heart. And so, therefore, I believe good things will become of something that has really destroyed our lives. But we were strong, and we stood stand fast and still. That God knows the plan. And God is the overseer for all of us.
Man.
You know, I thank God.
I do. I really do because, you know, this is really warming my heart right now. Because, you know, Miss Brenda or Mr. Johnny.
Yes.
I want to really sincerely thank you, right?
Okay.
For being the parents that you have been, because I see and know and understand through my brother Malai, who I love, to be able to love those who I have not yet met. So I knew that I was going to love his parents because of the man that he is. And I bear witness to that because Miss Brenda, I just came home 2 months ago from doing 23 and a half years. My mother and my father have been the mainstay. They have been there the entire time, unconditionally.
That's right.
And that was the love that brought me through, right?
Yes.
That was the love that brought me through. And so you know, I want to ask a question because I know how hard it is sometimes for like for mine when I first got incarcerated. But back at the beginning, when he first got incarcerated, because some families, you know, they go through shame, right? They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to really love their loved one. They don't know how to care for them or show compassion. So I want to know from your standpoint, you know, you and Mr. Johnny, how was it for you all at the very beginning when he first got incarcerated? That's what I want to know.
Let Daddy answer first, Mommy, and then we'll ask my mom. Go ahead, Dad.
That'd be great.
It was very hard. The point that he was incarcerated was one thing, but the time that he got was unbelievable. When we had a lawyer, the lawyer said, well, from what I see of the crime that was committed, he may do 3 to 5. And then we get a call from Eric that says he got 25 years.
Wow.
30 years. I mean, I dropped the phone, and I fell to my knees. I couldn't believe it. I said, this is unbelievable. He didn't kill no one. Mm. He hadn't touched one.
Mm.
What kind of law is this? And I'm a Christian man. And I'm a deacon in church, and I believe in God. But at that moment, I felt like everything had failed me. Because here's my son, and I think he had just celebrated his birthday. And here we are getting the word that he may be in jail for the rest of his life.
Wow.
And here we are thinking from what the lawyer told us, 3 to 5. I said, that makes sense. I'm not going to deny that he didn't do what he did, but the nature of the crime had no weapon. He didn't touch anyone. And here I'm looking at the news all the time, people killing people and getting less time than my son. Man, that tore me up. It tears me up now.
Wow. Wow, man. Wow.
Think about it. The time that they gave him for a crime that the lawyer said was 3 to 5. And in my mind, I'm saying, well, this ain't going to last. We're gonna do some maneuvering around here. We're going to get some lawyers involved. And then I got my church and everybody involved, and we was all trying to do things. And it seemed like it was going to come to a head. And every time we seem like we got a lawyer that says, we're going to do this because it doesn't make sense. This is unreasonable. The next thing we know, the lawyer calls and says, ain't nothing he can do. You know, it just tears, as a parent, it tears you up. And I know because I have other kids, but his mother, that's her only child. And she never see her child again. You know, because we know how prisons are. How people go and don't come out. So it was devastating. But like I said, being a Christian, I know God can change things. He may not do it when we want him. He's going to do it on his own time.
Right.
I try to encourage my son and let him know that it's going to happen. You just got to be patient. And he had no other choice but to be patient. And I blame, as a parent, sometimes you just go back and you want to know, well, what could I have done differently? Where did I go wrong? And it bugs me. It drove me against the wall.
And
I didn't know.
What happened for me was a lot different for his dad because I was right here. I was in a courtroom when I heard a judge say that he would give my son 50 years for robbery with no weapon involved. It was like someone's in my heart. When I left that courtroom that day, I was walking down the street crying outside in the public, and people were looking at me like something was wrong with me. But you just do not know the feeling when someone says, you're going to give my son 50 years in prison, and you're going to take away some of the time because he cooperated with the court. But he is left with a 25-year sentence to serve in prison. You're like dumbfounded. Everybody in the courtroom was like, what happened here? You're in unbelievable state, okay? That is my only child. And I brought him into this world, and no one gets the right to take your kid away from you. So the sentence that he got was not fitting for robbery with no weapon involved and nobody injured. A white lady frightened at a bank, and the bank gave her money back, and no one ever counted the $200 that my son was given. He didn't rob her. She asked him what did he want or how she could help him, and he said he needed $200.
but a person on drugs at his time and at a low, that's where he would be. But the pain that I bear, no one can give me back. I brought him into this world. You don't know the pain that a mother has, not all what she does, for me to be a protector and a provider for my son. And so, therefore, it's been very painful that I lost 25 years of time with my son. And in the meantime, because only the strong survive, and only a black mother, only a black mother would stick with her child. So I have been to every prison you can think of down here in Virginia. I moved here in 1998. My son got incarcerated in 1994. He was just turning to his 30th birthday. He'd never been in a prison system. So you could just imagine, as a mother, I'm wondering, wow, what will happen to him? How would he even survive this? Okay? So it's been a lot of great pain for me as a mom. When you look for your son, ever since he came in this world, I knew that he would one day grow up, and he was going to take care of his mom. He's going to be looking out for his mom, because that's all I have. I am family. He is my family, okay?
That's right.
So as a mother, all of this has been very painful, that just my child calling home from his prison cell saying, "Ma, I got a toothache, Mama," and I'm going, "Oh, my gosh, I don't know what I can do." And you know what my younger sister said? "You can't do anything." So I just had to pray about it, that God would have the sense of direction to see that he got the proper health. But it's so many times as a mom, you feel great pain when you have lost your child to the system, which I didn't think I lost him there, because I believe God has used him even when he was incarcerated, that God was using him. Okay? God had a reason for to put him in the prison, and he deserved to be punished. He just did not deserve to be taken away from his family for 25 years. So you would just imagine, as mother and father, we can't entitled to spend quality time with him. We cannot get back. His dad is 75 now. I'm 70. No, his dad is 76 years old. I'm 75. We could not get back that time that we would lose to spend quality time with them. And we're now older, senior people. And I still really have the greatest need for my son to be a part of my life. And he needs to have the opportunity to spend quality time with his dad. Okay? We're not getting any younger. But I thank God for every day that he had me here. And he kept me here to be able to see my son come out of a prison and walk.
Can I now ask you both a question? Like, time period, and you were going through the things that you were going through, and you witnessed the deprivation of the system. What was most disappointing to you as a parent in not being able to resolve, like, what was the most disappointing point? Like, if you both can just, with like 2 minutes, just share with us, what was the most disappointing factor about the whole situation of the judicial system?
Well, first of all, it was, to me, the judge that you had made a decision, and a decision that didn't make sense to nobody in the courtroom. And I had to say that it had a lot to do because he was from Virginia. He's from the South. And I do think that if you are a young man and you come from a northern state and you go to the South and you get caught in a crime, I do think that they put more time on you because of the fact that they feel that the state in the North, kids get away people get away with more than they do when they're sentenced, especially you being a black man. And it was just, I just couldn't understand the system. I I talk to lawyers, I talk to congressmen, and I'm trying to, and everybody said it just didn't make sense. But saying it doesn't make sense doesn't change it. There
right.
has to be some changes made in the system when it comes to sentencing black men for crime. And I do not think that, I think it has a lot to do with the state having control of the sentencing guy. If it's
yeah.
going to be a crime committed, why don't the country itself, I mean, every state has their own, every state should have their own, the same guideline for the sentence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everybody shouldn't, every state shouldn't have that right, or individuals should have that right that they to just do what they want to do. It should be countrywide, you know, the sentence arranged. And it would make it much easier for everything, and everybody would be maybe more understanding of the system. And it, because
and,
of the way
and,
it is
and
now,
the
black
board,
man is
yeah.
at the bottom. The black man is always on the bottom when it comes to for a crime.
Right.
And mommy,
the difference for me was I see the problem because I came here from up north and I relocated here because I was working here. I was transferred to work in the Ford Motor Company plant that they had here. Okay, so I could continue on and retire from that place. So I worked 30 years for Ford Motor Company, and I retired in 2007, okay? But I came here in 1988, and I faced some of the issues that you have in Virginia, that the white man has this stuff etched in stone, any of these laws that would help men who get incarcerated here. Able to be nothing but enslaved to the system of putting them in prison. Because I paid for the white man, the first lawyer, Broccoletti. I paid for Robinson, a black attorney. I paid for his last attorney. So it's a lot of things here that is wrong. It's wrong within the system that you know you gave my son the wrong amount of time for a crime. He was not supposed to get any 60 years, and then you dropped the sentence. He served 25. You had a governor who has set him free, but you don't set him free because you're making him still be under the guidelines of a parole board and being watched for 3 more years. You understand me? So there's never anything that somebody's crime, even with all that's happened, not just my son, because my son have introduced me to a lot of his guys that have gotten out of there. And I thank God for him to have had a fellowship with those brothers and that they were there for him. And now that he's out here, he is also supporting them because they're not doing anything within the system of the parole board, none of that. Down there to the courts for your judges that give these guys too much sentence time. Nobody makes a difference about what could be done here and changing the laws because the white man has it so that those laws that they put in here. I came here, I'm going to tell you something. This is what I know about Virginia and the South. I've experienced some things myself. But when I came here to this state, it was a red state, and it did not change until Obama ran. And I was very much annoyed when Obama ran. And here in this state of Virginia, Virginia was the last person they was waiting, the last one of the last two states they was waiting on for those votes to come in. And so I have to stop and say, as a people, we as a people of color have to do more to help our black children. Because the white man don't care nothing about our children. So just knowing that Virginia was a red state for 25 years tells me something, okay? We have to do more to be effective. So once we know our kids are incarcerated, to parents helping each other, to each other giving information and sharing things that can help each other.
Because when you lock up one of us, you lock up all of us, okay?
That's both.
I'm not the only mother who suffered. Your mom and a lot of other guys that my son have introduced me to, their moms, their families, their children, their grandkids. It's a big effect that this affects. But the biggest part is we scream and we holler and we stand on the top of the steps. But it doesn't go anywhere because we have to go deeper to getting after the white man that is holding the ties and saying, don't let these guys out of prison. Don't give these guys a second chance. Don't give these guys another opportunity. Okay? But just because your son or daughter commits a crime, it doesn't mean you get the right to take their life away from them. I am so thankful that my son is out of there. And he didn't get killed in there or something worse could have happened to them. Because I just had a nephew that was killed last year in a prison. Okay, he ain't making it home. So there's a lot of injustice done. And I will be a mom because I'm going to tell you something. Every lawyer who has met me has said I'm the right person for my son. And they need a mother just like me. Because you know what? I don't give up. And I don't give out. You understand me? We
That's
fall
right.
down,
That's
but
right.
we get back up. Okay?
Come on
so
now.
I would be one of those Rosa Parks that sat down on the bus, and I ain't getting back up today, white man. Okay?
That's right. Come on now.
I'm a black woman. Okay. I'm a black woman of strength, and we come from that, okay? We come from what our foremothers, grandmothers, all before us came and gave us that. But most of all is I am a mom. I am a mom. I am a grandma. I'm an auntie.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, my emotions sometimes take over, but they never take over to the point that we forget that we, as a parent, have to stick with your child no matter what they are going through. And I've been through a lot, but I don't give up on my son. You understand me? God has him here for a reason, and he is
being used,
and there's a purpose for him, okay? So
as far as
what we need to do in Virginia, you need to do more to getting after what the white man is doing wrong as far as judges and lawyers doing justice, injustice, and the fact that nobody gives – let me tell you something, and this is what I want to always tell people. You know when drugs come to our cities, like where you got housing projects and areas, we ain't got no boats to bring no drugs here. We ain't got no ships to bring it in on, okay?
Come on,
man. They destroy us with drugs, and now they're even destroying our black kids with guns, okay? So they're providing all of those tools that kill our children. And because the black kids are of suffering of a lesser nature of not having enough income or not having jobs and they make enough money, they do these things that will get them in further situations. But such as the crimes of nature of killing your black brothers and sisters, that's a no-no. No one should want to take a gun and kill another fellow brother or sister,
you know? Holy thought on that, Mom. Hassan, anything else you want to add into, or maybe asking my dad?
Yeah, I heard them mention it, man, and I applaud your mother and your father for everything that they said tonight, man, because it's really making a difference in my life to hear it from someone else's family, right? And it because it becomes even more real to me how much bigger than just all of us that it really is. When you talked about 1994 and you talked about that, when you talk about the white man, you're talking about a system of white supremacy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the crime bill was done in 1994. This was this was done by then President Bill Clinton, right?
Right.
Joe Biden was the author.
Yeah.
He's the one.
You're right.
The one that drew it up. Joe Biden drew it up.
Yeah.
Let's be real about this, man. Right? We're still living in the same system. That dude who drew it up is the president now.
We must
really, really take inventory of that as a people. And I just want to thank you so much for everything that you said, because it just lets me know that we're on the right track. And everything that you said that about your son having a purpose, we're living it out right now. This is a beautiful thing for me. It's a wonderful, wonderful occasion. It's a joyous moment, really, because we made it through. So many of our comrades passed away, but we're here. And I just want to thank. I want to thank you for your strength. I want to thank you for your compassion, for your love.
Okay.
Because I'm feeling it right now. I really am.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for that.
Krista, you want to say something, Krista?
I wanted to hear her response to what Hassan has to say. Then
okay.
What I want to say to Hassan is great. It's wonderful that you feel the love, because you are loved. You're loved when God wakes you up in the morning. You understand me? You were loved to know that you're still here. Not because of Hassan and nobody else, because it's the will of the Lord that you're here.
That's
you
right.
hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
And God
yes, ma'am.
Is using you right now. He is using you because you're spreading a word of knowledge to your people. And we got to hope they are listening and willing to go the extra mile to help your other brothers and sisters that are in a situation worse than you and I. Okay?
Mm.
That's most definitely coming from a strong Black woman. You know, I admire her tenacity. I admire her strength, you know, and your father's strength as well, because it comes with pride and that you have to, he has the responsibility of being your protector as a father.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to also shout him out, you know, as, you know, when you feel like you have exhausted all of your strength and all of your protection, you can no longer protect your child. It takes a burden on a father as well to have to walk of not being able to protect their child or any long, you know, through the process. So I do understand that I, too, lost a brother to incarceration. I watched my mother fight tooth and nails and exert all her resources, all her finances, in trying to get my brother home, to the point where her working her job, she had to take an early retirement because of the toll that it took on her health.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And as pastor of a church, the shame failed her child, you know, she failed her child or wasn't, even though she took all the necessary steps of instilling, you know, religion and we still went astray.
Your mom did what she was supposed to do. She did her job as a mother. But it takes more than just us. Just like they have that saying, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes more than that. And a mother, she feels guilty when something's gone wrong with her child, knowing that she's done the best that she can do.
Right.
All right.
So
at this moment, cause we're running on. This has been a real classic show. We're running on 10 minutes now. Real quick, Dad, is there anything like that you would, what would you say, Dad, to another father, mother experiencing, what advice would you give to a father who's going through the struggle that you had to go through? And,
well, the only advice I can say is to hold on, don't give up. I mean, because it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that as a parent you have to deal with. And you can't give up, because that's what they want us to do. They want us to stop loving our kids and give up on our kids and leave them there to rot. And one more thing I want to throw out. Black people need to get out and vote. Raise hell,
that's
right. Hey. About this. But we don't want to go to the poll to have get changes, even if it's somebody that ain't going to do half of what they say they're going to do. It's better than having somebody that said it that don't do nothing they say they're going to do.
That's right.
So we need to voice that out there too. Black people need to come out them closets, because we stay in. We talk about we ain't going to worry about it. Don't make no difference. It will make a difference if we put in our votes in that. And if that doesn't change, then we got other moves, other things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Stop complaining so much about changing and start to help try to make the changes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And Mom, can you hold it down for 2 minutes, Mom? And can you add on to what advice would you give a mother who is, through your experience, what advice most strongly can you give a mother who is experiencing this situation right now?
I give a mother this: have strength and be strong, but just know a mother gets to let her shoulders down. Don't give up. Keep fighting to go forward, okay? And stop looking back to what was, because that's not there anymore. Go straight ahead to what your bigger prize is that God has in store for you, okay?
That's right.
Wow.
I love that.
Thank
I love
you so
that.
Much.
I love that.
This is Hassan.
I wanted to say congratulations to you, because I think you. I guess you are the spokesperson of the show, and for you to take that challenge after only being a few months, that's a great thing. Keep the good work up.
Oh man. That's great, man. I don't even know what to say about that, man. Thank you so much. That's wonderful, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I appreciate it.
Yes,
that's great,
we,
man.
We got
Hassan. You have not forgotten your fellow soldiers you left behind, and they're hoping that when you got out here that you didn't forget them, and you show that by doing what you're doing. And so you're going to reach back and get somebody else, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay.
I believe that.
You
thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I walk in that. I live in that. Yeah.
Yes, I appreciate what you're doing, because you didn't forget your other fellow soldiers that you've left behind. And it hurts you to leave them there, but you're free and you're still not forgetting them. That's a great thing that you're doing. So be proud of yourself. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
So you are doing a good job and a good thing, okay? And
yes,
the thing comes to you that way, okay?
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, real
thank
quick,
you.
Y'all listen. We got like eight, seven minutes. Jason, do we have anybody that called in that would like to speak? Jason?
You did, but they must have dropped the call.
Okay. Oh. All right. Well,
press one.
If anybody would like to speak, we got 5 minutes. We'd love to hear from you right now. If anybody would like to speak, please press one. Please press one so that we can hear your advice or your comments. Please press one if anybody would like to speak right now. Okay.
Somebody ringing the
hello?
Door. Let's go.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello?
Who we speaking to?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing? This is Nick Taylor.
Okay. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, brother?
Yeah.
How you doing, Nick? Did you have a question or a comment?
No, yeah. I just wanted to say I've had the luxury of working and spending a little time with Brother Hassan
Thanks to Sister Krista for introducing me.
And I've had the luxury of meeting his parents as well. I just want to say brilliant, very intelligent, and there's definitely a light about you, brother, and I can't wait to get boots on the ground and start working with you. Me and Brother Hassan has been talking about some different projects and things like that that we can engage in. And
okay.
I really think it's going to make a ripple. So
okay.
I'm a local filmmaker, photographer. And as y'all know, Brother Hassan is a wordsmith, and amongst other things. And Krista's always been the backbone. So I just want to say I'm glad I met you, and I'm loving what you're doing. You came straight out, and you just hit the ground running. So that's pretty tough.
Thank you, man.
So I got
thank you.
Mad respect
thank
for that.
Thank you, brother.
I know we spoke about just one little thing. I know we spoke about actually making impactful change with the law enforcement and where it started at. And just want to kind of expound on that and get your take on it as far as, like, creating change with the law and teaching our people how to interact with the law and kind of holding the law accountable for doing the right thing.
That's right. Miss Brenda said it the best, like, and Mr. Johnny said it as well. Like, Mr. Johnny said, yo, we got to get out there and vote, right? But the key is the vote is symbolic in nature towards you being active to the engagement. That means that you're holding your legislature accountable. You're holding your representatives accountable. You're holding your mayor accountable.
Yes.
Your councilman, your councilwoman, you're holding them accountable. This is what your vote symbolizes. And so if we're not doing that, then that means we're not doing the least little bit of thing that we can do, which is vote.
Amen. Say so. Say so, my brother.
So you have right to go to him and say, I pay your salary. I'm a taxpayer. Yo, why are these potholes not being fixed and I'm paying a property tax every year? Like Krista says all the time.
Right.
Krista says it all the time. I'm paying a property tax. We got to be more active on that note. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Miss Krista,
I want to say this to you. I wanted to say this to you. Behind every good man, there's a good woman. So you keep sticking with those guys and let them know how smart you are and helping them out, okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, son, do we have anybody else call in?
No, that's
okay.
Nothing.
All right. Okay. Look, we maybe could get 5 minutes to go over. At this point, in this moment, we're going to prepare to close the show. In closing, I want to say to my mom and my dad, thank you so much for everything that you've given to me in life. But most importantly, thank you right now for being the brave and courageous people that you've always been to me, and allowing yourself to, you know, be vulnerable and express to people the detriment that you had to experience through the life of your son. I appreciate it. I love you all so very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Indeed.
This
and
is maybe one of the most – thank you, brother. I love you, too. This is maybe one of the most inspiring shows I'm probably ever going to do. I don't know. But what I would like for people to take from this show real quick, I'm going to ask my two co-hosts, what, in a minute, can you just tell us, what did you take from this show? Just give me a minute, 60 seconds. What did you take from this show tonight, Krista?
It most definitely gave me a better understanding of what my parents went through. I watched my mom get carried out in the ambulance when my brother was sentenced. He was over sentenced as well. He was facing 3 to 6 years, and they gave him 25 to 50 in the middle. They said court procedure has changed in the middle of court, and he was facing more time. So I watched my mom get carried out in the ambulance, and my father, you know, have to, you know, cuddle my mom, and I was just looking at them like I could not imagine to see, you know, to bear witness to losing a child in that way.
So
I relate, and it just gave me a better, profound respect for their tenacity as well.
Yeah.
And Brother Hassan, can you tell us what you took from this show?
Oh, man, what I took from this show is that, you know, love conquers all, right?
Amen.
I know this. I know for a fact that, Brother Malai, the only way that you made it through the time that you did in prison was because of the love that had been instilled in you, had been given to you, that allowed for you to evolve into the man that you have become today, right? And that has only to do with your mother and your father, because they placed in you a seed of love that could not properly grow in society. And sometimes calamity is a blessing in disguise, man. You know, the Most High places us in a place where we solve our problems the best. And so for me, myself, just speaking from my experience and then knowing that you are a man who has traveled in that same vein, I know that my mother and my father have been everything to me.
Yes, sir.
And so I know that that is the same for you, my brother. And so I'm thankful for you and your family to be present here tonight. And love, you know, believe one, man. If you don't think that you can get through it, man, try a little bit of love.
And real quick, Jay Sean, producer, what you got for me, man? What you take from the show tonight, brother?
This was probably the most realest show, a truthful, you know, very impactful show, man. It really it really touched me in a lot of different ways, and Thank God for parents.
And with that, I wanna thank my host, my co-host, Hassan Shabazz and Miss Krista Ellison, and I am Derek Malai, Minhaj Malai, Hanford, and to my father who loves to call me Lamont. my grandmother would always call me Lamont. I have to give praise and glorification to Allah God for this show tonight and for all the gifts of life and mercy that He has placed upon me and those around me who I love. Hassan, when I met your parents, I truly can understand their pain, and through my experience with my mom and my dad, and that's why I was so delighted to see you and your parents share the love that you were sharing at that moment. You know, you're a good guy, you're a good son, you're a good man, and I'm grateful to have you as my brother. And Krista, I love you. You're a beautiful sister. And you are our backbone. You are our strength. Yes, I got it. You are our neck to keep us up.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. You know, and we here to be a foundation for you. Tonight's show, please, people, if you know somebody who wanted to listen to the show and they missed the show, please link on to Blog Radio. We have it posted on Facebook. You can hear the show and listen to the show. It's been a very powerful night for me. I got to tell you, I'm probably going to break down in a minute.
That's all right, man.
But, yeah, you know, God has been so rewarding to me. And in closing, I wanted to say, Mommy and Daddy, I love you. Thank you for all your sacrifice.
Yes, we love you.
Thank you for all your sacrifice. Thank you for all your sacrifice. And I wanted to just tell you, I've repented to God many, many times for my shortcomings and being a son to you. But I know that if I continue to do the things that I'm doing with my life right now, I know that I'm going to be, you know, rewarded with my Lord. Because it is through the instillment of all that you guys placed in me that I am the man I am today. You know, I have people a lot of times, they say to me, you know, Malai, man, you know, you do too much for the people. And you know what I tell them right off the bat? I said, man, you can't tell my mama that. She'll punch me in the face.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? she ain't trying to hear. You can't tell my father that. They ain't trying to hear that. You know what I'm saying? So,
I come from a
family. They expect nothing less than for me to step up and do what I do. You know, because that's what they instilled in me. You know, so, we here for you, point of impact.
Hey, Krista. Let me tell her this. I gave Krista a good point for her being a good woman that helps a man, but I want those brothers to treat you like a beautiful black queen that you are, okay?
We do.
Okay.
We definitely do. Yes, sir. And she's well protected. Trust me.
No question.
With that, we're going to close. We done went over a little bit. And I thank God for this opportunity. Jay Sean, thank you, brother. You my brother from the hood.
Thank you, Jay Sean.
My brother in life, man. Yeah, you
that's
know,
right.
His production was wonderful,
you know,
man. And
we want everyone
to please reach out to Point of Impact. Anything that we can do for you, reach out to us, DM me or Hassan Shabazz. You can go to our Facebook and find our pages. You can find Krista Ellison page. You know, hit us, DM us, man, and give us a call. We'll be more than happy to do all we can to help and bring awareness to whatever issues are concerning you. And just remember, everybody, please remember, take this time right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Take this time to do something that will benefit you in this life and the hereafter, that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community, okay?
That's right.
Right now.
Right.
And we say to you all, may Allah's peace and security be upon you, and be safe, and may He guide you upon the straight path. We love you. Point of Impact, join us next weekend, Sunday, 7 p.m., and remember, dial once, and you can speak, and we would love to hear what you have to say. Everyone, have a safe night. Good night, and thank you for a wonderful night.
Good night, everyone.
Love you.
Yeah.
Good night.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and thought I would a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick, can fake a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we still in text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie and lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate and see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you will want to see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I want to say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh, my God. I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.